You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. The unofficial fifth line of the Leafs.
I think that should have been worth, like, that's like 3 GOAT points. Like, if like it was a nice play.
Yeah.
You know? That should have equaled 3 GOAT points.
Well, yes. His first assist was GOAT. One where he put his stick down.
Yes, yeah. It is. It's instead of Corsi, it's Goatski.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Big game tonight. Maple Leafs down in Tampa taking on the Lightning. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. That means Greg Gilbert and the Tap Man will be in here at some point, I'm assuming. Have to believe they'll be ready to rock.
Yes, guy.
A yes guy and a no guy. Two options in about an hour and 15 minutes.
It will be fun.
Yes, guy. No guy. It's going to be a fun game tonight. It's going to match the hype. Are you a yes guy?
I'm a yes guy.
I expect big things out of both teams.
As soon as you think, though, that it's going to be a track meet and 6-5, like a lot of games have been this year, they both lock it down.
I said to Hayes early on, I was like, it could be tentative where both teams are like, hey, that team's very potent. We better try and play a safe game. It could turn into like an ugly defensive game somehow.
All right. More likely to happen tonight. 1-0, goaltenders stand on their head type of game, or craziness breaks loose. It's chippy.
Couple I don't want to go 1-0. I'll go like 2-1 or 3-2.
I could give a 3-2, but like a 6-5. I don't know why you keep saying fights. Like neither
well, because,
one of these
teams. But that's my point, though. Is I guess what I'm trying to get to is when you think of the Leafs and Lightning, you think 6-5.
Right.
And you think teams that are kind of softer and are not going to hit or fight. So both options seem to be a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, okay.
So which one is less outrageous or which one is more believable that it could be a 1-0 game or that you could get chippy and something like crazy happens and there's some physicality. Not even a bloodbath, but if there's one fight. Let's say that. 1-0 or one fight. More likely to happen.
One fight. I don't think it's happening with 1-0. I think it's going to be...
Even I don't think they could get in a fight.
I don't think there's going to be a fight tonight.
I don't think so either, but who's I don't fighting? Think it's going to be 1-0 either.
Well, that's the whole point of
I
these ridiculous
hypotheticals. I could see
Kalorn
and Kadri going at it.
Now, Kadri got his quota, and he fought on Saturday night.
I understand.
Night.
I'm not saying that would happen. I'm just saying that if you're talking about guys who get chippy a little bit and stuff, I could see Kadri. I could see... Because Kalorn plays pretty hard, and he's a big guy. Braden Coburn's in the lineup. He drops the gloves. I don't know who he'd fight. I'm not suggesting, but I don't see 1-0 either. Not with that firepower on
I
both
hear
sides.
You, but I don't see a fight. But I think 1-0 is more likely.
What about the statement game element of it where it's like, oh, we got to show these guys, might meet them down the road.
But don't you think there's a chance that Cooper and Babcock both say, hey, let's treat it like a playoff game so none of the stupidity, no stick swinging, no track meets. Like, let's lean on guys. Let's clog up the neutral zone.
Right. That's
you know what I'm saying?
It could be like a slowed down game. Like, that's why I keep saying, like, you better manage the puck well tonight. Because if you don't, it's going to turn over and go the other way. And either team has the ability to do that. Plus, if it gets chippy, you got the, 1-2 power play going at it? Or 2-3? I think Colorado's 1, aren't they? So you got the top 3, 2 of 3 power plays going at it.
Yeah, I'm hopeful for a track meet tonight. Games in December. Give me lead changes. Give me craziness.
You'll take it?
You know, the history of Tavares and Stamkos, like a Marlies matchup, I guess. I didn't think they were the same age or that they played on the same team growing up, but I guess they do have a long history of playing at least summer teams together, and they both were Marlies. I think they were different age groups. But this is the first time Tavares is a Leaf. Up against Stamkos as a Lightning. That feels like kind of the matchup that people are focused on tonight because Tavares took a meeting with these teams, with both of them. He sat down with Tampa, and they went in, and John Cooper was asked about it today, and he said, listen, we were disappointed. We were hopefully he'd come to us, but he didn't, and I think everyone around the league accepts that he probably made a pretty good decision. Now, if he went to Tampa, it would have been a great choice too, but we keep talking about contracts and all that.
Right.
Imagine Tavares was there and Braden Point was doing this, and Tavares signed for $10 million down there, or $11 million,
he wouldn't have signed for $11 million. It would have been a lower number on the table.
Right.
Maybe that factored in. I misspoke. Tampa is the third power play. The Leafs are seventh in the league right now. Both very top.
I think based on the talent that they have, it wouldn't be shocking if they were 1-2 by the end of the year, or certainly in the top 3 or 5.
Yeah, I mean that Colorado line just chews people
gross.
Up.
They really are gross.
And Winnipeg's the top power play.
Winnipeg, Edmonton tonight. We haven't mentioned that, but that's a big game. So we'll get to that later in the hour. Bob McKenzie coming up. But you know, I've been saying throughout the afternoon, even if the Leafs went big tonight, I don't think they can do anything that can match the statement the Raptors made last night. Because for the Raptors on a back-to-back without Kawhi to roll into Oracle Arena and lay a smackdown on the champs. I mean, they had the lead all night, and they laid a beating on him to the point where Steve Kerr, with 5 minutes left, just said, you're out. Like, yeah. Pulled all the starters, put in a bunch of bench guys, and they just kind of rode it home. There's no one left in the stadium by the end of the game. It was wild. There were go Raptors, go chants towards the end of the game. That's how quiet it was from the Warriors crowd. And that's a building that's always really hopping. And to chat about that win last night, we're joined now by Amin Elhassan of ESPN. What's up, Amin?
What's going on?
We're just living the dream up here in Toronto. What do you think about that game last night? Was that, like, do you believe in the statement game? Or is that, I mean, you look at the pedigree of the Warriors. Are they just like, they beat us twice this year, no worries? Is it a statement game? Is it something to think about? Or just a regular season victory?
I think it's a statement, but not to the Warriors. The Warriors, we now have seen this movie enough times, we should all know. This is a team that sleepwalks through the regular season. They realize it doesn't matter. They realize their bones are made in April, May, and June. But that doesn't mean that we can easily dismiss or poo-poo what the Raptors did last night, and really what they've done in two games against Golden State. And that statement is made to the rest of the league and to the other teams to know that, look, Toronto's for real. This is a power. Like Kevin Durant said it best, this isn't an up-and-coming team. This team is right now. And so a win like that, particularly with Kawhi Leonard not playing, is both a statement to the rest of the league and also a feeling of internal validation. Because when you got a basketball team, the coaches will have schemes and they'll have strategies that we have and things that we value as an organization. And to see all of that hard work pay off in such a fantastic fashion, it really helps the players kind of buy into it. Okay, what we're doing here is something special. It's not just busy work or kind of spinning our wheels in the mud.
And the response, right? They lost 3 of 4. Before going out west, and they were close games. They lost close to Denver, Milwaukee, in Brooklyn last Friday. But still, I mean, these top-end teams that win, you know, mid-60s in terms of games, they don't slump for long. They bounce back, and Raptors did that in L.A. against the Clippers and last night against Golden State. And without Kawhi, I mean, how much of a significant element is that to the statement, the fact that, yeah, you beat Golden State by 20, but without Kawhi, how much more does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's what it is. Well, specifically is, Kyle Lowry had a great game. And so for me, if I'm Toronto, I'm thinking more, okay, how can we get more of this Kyle Lowry around when Kawhi is playing? Because even though, yes, his role changes to be a more of a facilitator when Kawhi is in the lineup, that shouldn't mean that we lose Kyle's offensive aggression. But again, beating the Warriors doesn't mean much with regards to the Warriors. It really just means a lot more about yourself and your own self-esteem and how other teams perceive you.
With Amin Elhassan of ESPN, Pascal Siakam was a guy that I guess his name was floated out a little bit league-wide over the summer. If the Raps were going to make a massive trade, maybe he would have to be attached to it. And now you can see why Masai was not having it. And when DeMar was going, Jakob Poeltl was going with him because this front court was going to be stacked. They needed a bounce back from Serge Ibaka. He has been brilliant for them. But Pascal Siakam, his reputation league-wide, I mean, what are you hearing from executives, from coaches, from players in terms of the impact that Siakam's having?
Well, I mean, just tremendous leaps in his skill level. We knew last year that he's a smart player, very high IQ player. But the oftentimes the lack of skill, the relative lack of skill, maybe held him back a little bit in terms of how effective he could be. But, you know, he came back and, you know, the three-point shot is much improved. The ball handling is much improved. And I think all of those things are now allowing his IQ to be showcased a lot easier, because now when he can do different things on the floor, that helps. And he's really become, I was talking to someone earlier today. I said, he's on the scouting report now. He's not just another guy. He's a guy that we literally have to spend time discussing as a team in our preparation. How are we going to contain him and make sure he doesn't get out of hand?
You've mentioned a couple times you've talked to people throughout the league. Have you talked to anyone throughout the league that says Kawhi likes Toronto? Like anyone?
Hook us up. I mean, come
just
on.
Just tell me one person.
Yeah, one nugget.
Guys, I don't even know if Kawhi has talked to anyone in the league. It's I mean, the thing is, guys, he's the best secret keeper in the NBA. And this is what I'll say to you guys. There is no version of the Kawhi Leonard experiment that could have been better than what's happened in Toronto already. A, he's back. He's healthy. He's playing great. He's, by many people's count, including my own, the MVP of the league so far this early in the season. The team is incredibly successful, off to the best start ever. And when he fits, they're still successful. So it's not like the burden is all on him night in and night out to carry this franchise. This is a team that's differentiated itself as an elite team, and he's playing really well, and they've been doing right by him in terms of rest, the scheduled rest, the scheduled maintenance, right? They've done a tremendous job of that. There's no version of this that's better than what's happened right now. Ultimately, you know, I don't know if Kawhi even knows what he's going to do at the end of the year, but I don't know if Toronto could have done anything more than what they've done so far.
Yeah, I totally agree. We had that conversation earlier. I mean, all you can do if you're the Raptors is put him in a position to win, which is exactly what they've done, make him feel comfortable, make sure that he's included in the conversations in terms of when he's going, what he's doing on the court, off the court. And that's, you know, I mean, you can't change the weather and all that kind of stuff.
You can't hold his hand and bring him to nice restaurants and say, this is what we have to offer.
Right? Let him live, man. Just be like, this is what we're going to do.
And you know what's funny? Another element of this is Danny Green is very vocal about how much he loves Toronto. And so you got to think, well, if there's someone in Toronto right now that he's close to, it's got to be Danny Green. So if Danny Green is always saying how great this city is and how great this organization is and how much fun he's having, whatever, maybe that's kind of like a little bit of a sales job going on internally as well from, I guess, the most trusted person for him in that city.
Which is interesting because Danny Green's a free agent at the end of the year, too.
No kidding. Yeah. He makes 10 sheets a year, too.
Yeah.
You can say how much you love the city as much as you want, but until you resign, I don't care.
Yeah. Let's see what you got down the road. But you're right.
Well, I mean, go ahead. It beats him saying this place sucks, right?
That's true.
It's a lot better than
that.
Asking
for a trade.
Yeah, no kidding. With Amin El-Hassan, I just want to circle back on what you just said. I thought I heard you say that Kawhi would be your MVP if you were voting tonight. Is that what you're saying? Really?
Yeah,
over LeBron and all those guys?
Yes. I would go Kawhi 1, Giannis 2, and then it gets kind of tricky. Steph Curry, I thought early on was playing really great, but he's missed a lot of time. And then obviously LeBron has really turned it on in the last few weeks. But those other three guys behind Kawhi, to me, he's been consistently excellent throughout the year thus far.
Even with missing 8 games. He'd still include
even when missing a game. Yeah. It does bring up an interesting question, right? So he's missed roughly a quarter of the Raptors games, right? So if we're extrapolated for 82 games, that means he's on pace to play about 60. If they're going to keep resting him strategically the way they are, can an MVP can someone be voted MVP if they played 60 games in a season? It's never happened before where someone's played that few. But it'll be interesting to see how that's going to affect voters at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to context, I guess. But I would think the fact that they won at the Lakers, at the Clippers, at the Warriors without them, you know, in a weird way, could hurt Kawhi a little bit.
Hurt him, yeah.
You know, because the team stepped up without him. But when he's in the lineup, the guy, I mean, everything goes through him. And on both sides of the court, I mean, I don't have to tell you. I mean, everyone knew this. It was just a matter of whether he was healthy. Now, I don't know if that's been brought up enough either. This guy played 9 games last year, even though Kawhi wasn't going to be vocal about it publicly. Obviously, the relationship went south quickly in San Antonio. And this guy has shown up, and outside of missing some games more based on cautionary reasons and really back-to-backs, he's hit the ground running, man. Kevin Durant said he thinks he looks better than he ever has before.
And I think that's an important thing to take away, you know, why it went south in San Antonio. The things that were being said about him but he's not a leader and he's, he doesn't care about the team, whatever. It's so funny to me. Because now you look at him and say, does this look like a guy that they were describing last year? He didn't sound like that kind of guy before last year, you know, up through 2016-17. And he hasn't been that guy since he's gotten to Toronto, but somehow he was just turned into this huge villain for one season. And that's when you realize it was like a mudslinging campaign. They wanted to throw him under the bus in San Antonio. It's a shame, but that mess up by them has become great fortune for Toronto.
That's got to sting last night if you're DeMar too, man. Like DeMar DeRozan, yeah. He loved it here, and he was, I mean, he's held on to a lot of records, and he'll hold on to those records for a long time. And, you know, the Spurs have been the epitome of success for two decades, and now they're kind of on the downside of that dynasty, clearly. It's not the same team anymore. And, you know, Kawhi comes up here, and the Raptors are on pace for, like, 65 wins. They beat Golden State twice. I mean, I kind of feel for DeMar.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
He's still making his money, he's a pro. But
He's still making his money, and he is Mr. Raptor. I mean, depending on what the rest of Kawhi's career looks like, but he is the most accomplished and the best Raptor player of all time. And so, and I'm sure he's never going to have to pay for a drink in that city again. For how hard he wrote. Because I think that's a thing that's lost upon a lot of people when they say, oh, it's a business or whatever. But Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan made Toronto a place, gave it the vibe that people want to be here, right? And that hasn't been the case with that franchise before. Like, the number one thing associated with that franchise is no one wants to sign here, and the people are here want to leave at some point, whether it was Vince Carter or Tracy McGrady, or, you know, it's a long line of great players who played for the Raptors, but for whatever reason, the vibe about Toronto is like, well, nobody actually wants to be here. And those two kind of changed that narrative, Kyle and DeMar. And so he can take a lot of pride in that. And then the other thing about with San Antonio, we also have to understand, they've been dealing with a lot of injuries. And so that's really impacted their ability to be good out there.
Always great catching up with you, Amin. Thanks for doing this, man. We'll do it again soon.
Definitely. Thanks a lot, guys.
There's Amin El-Hassan, ESPN NBA insider. Like, DeMar, I think his reaction was, I mean, it was multi-layered. One, he loved it here. He wanted to be here. Secondly, he thought he got cheated.
Plus the way it went down. Yeah. That's what he was pissed about.
He thought Masai kind of sandbagged him. And
yeah.
I guess we'll never know all of the details, but I think there's probably some truth on both sides. But now he goes to San Antonio, and I think he's been embraced. And by all accounts, the offense is going through him, and he's putting up his numbers. But they're not winning that many games. And now the team that he was on trying to represent and trying to get love for, that he wanted people to focus on forever, the talk of the NBA. Yeah. Like, the Raptors are the talk of the NBA. And Amin just said he's got Kawhi number one. If the MVP were to be voted on tonight, it's Kawhi Leonard.
That's interesting.
And that speaks to his reputation in the past, because Kawhi's been great for them.
Right.
But he had a bit of a slow start offensively, and he's missed 8 of 30 games.
Yeah.
That speaks to who he was before he got here.
To me, there's no chance you win MVP by missing a quarter of the season.
I agree with that. Unless the numbers are so insane.
If you're off the charts.
Like Lemieux did that. Lemieux, I think, played 60 games and had 160 points. We have to acknowledge this.
People in this building that thought Connor McDavid missing like 30 games should win the MVP.
No, the rookie of the year.
That was the rookie of the year.
Really on the borderline, because there was some people in here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure the.
Last year, Carson.
Not him.
Carson Wentz was getting love last year, and he blew his knee out in like week 12 or week 13. Like, he was in the clubhouse, I think, as MVP leader.
Yeah.
And he ended up missing the final, whatever it was, 3 games or 4 games. And he would have got some votes for MVP. That's how good he was. But I as a principled rule, I tend to agree with you. If you miss 25% of the games, it's very difficult to suggest that you're the MVP. But
yeah,
we'll see with Kawhi. And that's the kind of noise he's making and that team is making.
Yeah, he's been that good.
He's been outstanding. Bob McKenzie's going to join us. I think Bob's still out in BC. You saw him last night.
I did. We had dinner after the World Junior Prep game.
Yeah. TSN's Bob McKenzie, not Bob and Doug McKenzie.
We'll ask him about Strange Brew. We're bringing back that clip. We're going to. You know, Bob's seen Strange Brew many times.
But he'll have a story about his name.
I can't wait for it. I look forward to that. We'll tee up the Leaf game with him, get you a World Junior update as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline later in the hour. See, the Chicago Blackhawks with a big win last night.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
I called it. I also said that the Islanders would win, and that didn't happen. It's all
they
good.
Should have. Robin Leonard allowed a... I didn't like the game-winning goal.
Yeah, that wasn't really on my radar last night. Islanders, Golden Knights.
I watched it.
I figured you might.
It was a pretty good game, actually.
Sadly, I missed that barn burner. I got a DVR to watch
that
it tonight.
Matthew Barzal, he's a hell of a player.
Yeah, that one was a tough watch for me last night. World Juniors right around the corner. Bob McKenzie's been out in BC. I don't know. You flew out there last night. Why can't Bob fly back and join us in studio? I don't know.
Yeah, he's doing some more extensive stuff. I just in and out, catch the game.
Okay. Here's our hockey insider, Bob McKenzie. What was it like to see the O-Dog in the rink last night, Bob?
Oh, it's always good to see O in a rink. You know, got to figure out which guys are on Team Canada, which guys are on Team USA.
Yeah. There's an inside joke there.
That was
pretty
a couple
good.
Of years ago, wasn't it? A
couple of years ago, O asked me about a guy, and I go, yeah, he's an American.
Yeah, he's a good player for the American team.
And Austin Matthews got a real good chance of making Team Canada.
Yeah, strength up the middle. You know what we were talking about earlier, Bob? And before we get to real stuff in hockey, somehow Strange Brew came up. And obviously you've seen that movie how many times?
Oh, I was in it.
That's a good point. It's based on your life, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay.
That's not a drama. That's not fiction. That's a documentary.
That's right.
It's a real thing.
It's a real biography. But how often I don't know how much anymore. It came out in 83, but Bob and Doug McKenzie, how often did you have to hear, like, jokes about that kind of stuff?
Still get it.
Really?
Really? Like, do,
yep.
Do you get it in the U.S. or around, like, in Canada? Like, where is it just randomly? More,
okay. I would say... Well, from that era, it was everywhere, and then even I still get it occasionally now, not very often, but occasionally you'll be there and somebody will be like, hey Bob, where's your brother Doug?
Yeah, very original material.
We O-Dog and Ray admitted they have not seen Strange Brew.
Right,
but like,
there you go.
Which is shocking to us, but anyway.
Yeah.
Leafs Lightning tonight. Where do you stand on the idea of a statement game in December?
Well, I mean, hey, listen, why not? I mean, it's not an unequivocal statement. I mean, if the Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight, it doesn't mean, oh, well, there you go, the Leafs are going to win the Cup or even the division. But, hey, listen, it's an 82-game schedule, and you want to make some games more important than others, and in the divisional format, some games are more important than others. And so this is a good measuring stick game. Tampa's been a real good team this year. And as we've said before, with the format being the way it is and Toronto being as good as they are, Tampa being as good as they are, Boston essentially being as good as they are, especially when they get healthy, then, these games count for more. And they're more fun to watch and there's a little more at stake. At the end of the day, it's still just 2 points in the standings, albeit two divisional points in the standings. But I think it's more just about, getting a sense of where you're at, where the other team's at, and it's fun. It's great, actually, I think.
Oh, it's going to be a great game. It should be a great game.
Bobby, how much truth do you think that, I mean, there's some teams that are coming out possibly for sale signs? What do you make of that? Is that just, hey, if you're interested, sniff around, or is that total fire sale from some of these teams that are garbage?
Yeah, I wouldn't say total fire sale, but I mean, the LA Kings have looked at their situation and they said, okay, you know what? We're not going to trade Doughty. We're not going to trade Kopitar. We'll trade anybody else. And again, you got to be careful because, this happened with St. Louis. St. Louis is the same mode. St. Louis is looking at their team and they're like, man, tire fire this year. So we better listen on everybody. And I think on that team, Schwartz would probably be an untouchable or close to it. But the fact is that guys like Tarasenko and Pietrangelo, arguably their best defenseman, arguably their best forward if he's shooting goals the way that he can, could you actually get these guys? And the answer is, well, technically, yes. But, I mean, it's going to take a boatload. And just because the team's listening doesn't mean that they're going to pull the trigger. So it's not a fire sale because a fire sale would imply everything must go. But Doug Armstrong wants to see what the market is for these guys, and Rob Blake knows that he's got to put a plan together here to start retooling this franchise. And so anything that's not named Kopitar or Doughty is not nailed down. So talk to us about it, and we'll go from there. But and you know, it'll be similar in Chicago to a point. Philadelphia's got a different sort of mindset, but they're also eager to make something happen. So between those four teams, L.A., St. Louis, Chicago, Philadelphia, there's a helping amount of trade talk going on here in December that is probably above average.
Speaking of Chicago, isn't the coach already kind of put himself into a bit of a stressful situation? I'm sure when he was talked to or interviewed, yeah, I can change this, I can change that, and they go out and they're awful. I mean, I know the roster's not very good. They're not a very good team, but I'm sure he promised some things that weren't what it is right now.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, sometimes you dig a hole so deep, I mean, it's just hard to, you know, you just get snowed under with the negativity. So, I'm sure Stan Bowman and the Hawks would say it's going to take time after so many years of Joel Quenneville, you know, it's going to take time for everybody to adjust to Jeremy Colleton. But if Jeremy Colleton just loses and loses and loses, you know, that it's hard to get that you know, nothing but losses jacket off your back down the road, even if you do have the support of management. So it's not a fun time to be a Blackhawk. And they got a win last night, which was nice for them. But man, oh man, they're in a deep hole.
Yeah, you're talking about the deep holes. I wanted to go back to L.A. Three times separately today, I was asked by people around the league about Jonathan Quick. And I know like the biggest challenge for him is health. But he's got 4 years left at 5.8. But this is a guy who is an elite goaltender at 32 years old. Like, I think he's got lots of road left. Like, is he a guy to me, if you had to guess, you know, not putting you on the spot, would he garner a lot of interest from teams that may need, like a Philadelphia? I know Calgary's situation has been hot and cold. Like, there's some teams that could probably use his ilk.
The problem you're going to run into with Quick is, you're right, he's got a tremendous pedigree and what have you, but he's also been injured a lot.
Yeah.
He's had a real tough time staying healthy, and he's still got multiple years left on a contract. And the contract's not unmanageable by any stretch, but the term, have somebody look it up on Cap Friendly there and see how many years he's got left. But you got to be careful. So if you're a team like Philadelphia, you're saying, you know what, we don't have any contractual obligations to Elliott or Neuvirth beyond this year. We've got Carter Hart, who's going to be a good goaltender, but he's a first-year pro. I don't think they want to rush him in. So they might be looking for some what I would call medium-term help in net. But, you know, it depends what the price is. And then you worry if you do give up valuable assets in a trade with Los Angeles for Jonathan Quick, and they're not going to give him away just because the season hasn't gone well. They're going to expect a significant return. You know, you get him in there, and then he's got all these soft tissue issues and groin pulls and what have you. How dumb do you feel if you pay a price and then he comes in and he goes into one of those injury modes, and yeah, you're still, you know, especially in Philadelphia, where there's been so much history for not being able to get a goaltender. And when you do get a goaltender, some people think they're cursed anyways in Philly because of the injuries they've suffered over the years.
Yeah.
The Leafs are in Tampa tonight, taking on the Lightning. John Cooper was asked about Tavares, and obviously the pursuit, where six teams got a chance to meet with him in late June, I guess it was. And we know what happened July 1st. He signed with the Leafs. I think he's pretty happy with that. He should be happy with that. But at the end, my understanding, Bob, was it basically came down to the Leafs and the Islanders, but I don't know how much digging you did afterwards. I know the Cottage was calling pretty quickly, but was there like a list of 1 through 6? And if so, where would Tampa have landed in your opinion?
Well, I mean, I think the realistic possibilities for Tavares at the time were to stay on Long Island, to maybe go to San Jose or go to Toronto. And as he said himself, you know, the real emotional decision was making that decision on to leave the Islanders, because it was the only organization he's ever known. So I think from that perspective, it was probably going to be Toronto or the Islanders, and it was clearly Toronto.
Enjoy it out there, Bob. We'll do it again soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider. live from Victoria, BC.
Hated our guts for bringing up Bob McKenzie.
Yeah, he wasn't in, I don't think he was feeling that conversation.
He's probably heard it a million times.
Yeah, that's enough. That's enough of the Bob and Doug McKenzie stuff. We haven't talked Strange Brew, I don't think, ever on the show. I don't even remember how it came up.
Yeah, the quote or the thing.
You want to play the clip again of them at the beer store?
I think it's a great
clip. Go for it.
24 Elsinore, 1470.
I believe there'll be no charge on this too for a beer, thank you.
Excuse me?
Okay. We found this mouse in a bottle of Elsinore beer that we bought at your beer store, eh? And we heard, like, when that happens, that you get your beer free.
It's in the Canadian Criminal Code, eh? Yeah. Like, there's legal precedent setting cases in law.
So, like, give us our free beer.
Mouse is alive.
The mouse is alive. We found this in the last case, and it's alive. I think we brought it up because of that Outside the Lines piece about you know, health concerns and what's in your food at all these different stadiums. And I think you referenced Strange Brew.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Hey, it's in the Canadian code, man. What are you going to do?
It's awesome.
It's a free beer. Elsinore Brewery.
Elsinore Beer.
Elsinore Brewery. Because that was shot in Toronto. It was shot, I think, down in the distillery.
It?
Yeah, I think
really?
So.
Love that.
I think it was shot down where they shot Tommy Boy.
Some classics been shot in Toronto.
Strange Brew, Tommy Boy, Billy Madison was in Toronto. Like a lot of the big movies that we reference.
I thought the Billy Madison, or no, which is Billy Madison the golf one?
No, that's Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore was shot in Vancouver, wasn't it?
Happy the golf was
course
in Vancouver.
Yeah, the golf course is on the water there.
Yeah.
Billy Madison was filmed in Oshawa.
Yeah, the house is in Oshawa, I think. The school is like right at Young and Lawrence. John Ross, like where he
where the principal wears the luchador mask.
Yes, and where like Miss Lippy, and he goes out and he just lays into people, lays into the kids in dodgeball and stuff.
Yeah,
that's John Ross Robertson.
Great movie. Great movie,
outstanding movie. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm picking winners again tonight.
You did last night.
Well, Chicago, they were due. They were due. And Leafs Tampa tonight, we'll get back into that. Thursday nighter as well. Mahomes with a spotlight game. Love it. Thanks. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. We had a bit of a debate earlier over how many states are in the United States of America.
52?
50 is the official number. Although Fergie was on your side. Fergie came storming in and said 52.
No, he said he read on the internet there's a report on the internet, it's 52.
My buddies just text me. My buddies Marshall and Danny Quinn, they said 52.
All right, we'll start that conspiracy theory.
They're from King City and they...
Stouffville.
Okay. They're
Stouffville.
Wrong.
Okay. It doesn't matter. There's 50 and then there's the District of Columbia, there's Puerto Rico. A lot of different things going on. And we tried to name all 50 and we're still missing a few. We're not going to try to get back on track with that, but the reason it came up was because of Steph Curry, right?
Right.
We're talking about Steph and how he said he believes in the conspiracy theory that...
No one landed on the moon.
No one's been to the moon, which is not an outrageous conspiracy theory. Like, in terms of... Now, like, I'm going to put faith in it that there was someone on the moon. Why not? I wasn't there, but I'm going to... I think I believe in that.
Yeah.
But with, like, the Kennedy assassination... The moon landing, UFOs. There's a lot of different crazy ones out there.
See, I want, you know, I know people hate Donald Trump and all this, but I think as a president, wouldn't he have access to some of these files that have been locked away forever?
Mm-hmm.
If this guy gets impeached or something happens to him, it would be unreal if this guy just drag bunted on the way out and was like, oh, by the way, Kennedy this.
Yep.
Moon landing.
Never made the moon.
Anything that ever, like 9/11, they knew about,
just
like all these
Ichiro
things.
Ichiro Suzuki drag bunt.
Yeah.
Like
halfway up first. By the time the pitch is like.
But I'm just like, wouldn't it be crazy? Because some of the stuff that is been tucked away.
I don't know how it would go over in terms of national security and all that stuff,
right.
But I could see him tweeting something like that. Hey, just stumbled across this little tidbit of information.
But I just say, like, it just, to be a fly on the wall or somebody who's like 95 and worked at the FBI for a million years and they're just about to die and they've got all these secrets pent up and lean over and say, oh, by the way, you know, this happened, this and this, would kind of be unreal.
The problem with conspiracy theories is if you have that kind of mentality where you don't believe anything is true, Doesn't matter what anybody ends up telling you. Yeah. You're not going to believe it's true.
I get it, but...
You know, you're just never going... I used to work with a guy, one of the most fascinating human beings ever. Ever. He recently passed away, the spaceman. And yeah. He believed in every conspiracy.
Really?
Like, he believed the Illuminati ran everything. Like, the whole world, and I think it all kind of began and ended with the royal family and...
Comes back to that, the movie... Like
the Da Vinci
Tom Hanks,
Code,
Da Vinci
yes.
Code,
and the Illuminati, and there's yeah. a certain amount of like bigwigs and intellects and royals that kind of literally dictate everything. Everything happens because of their decisions, and you get cornered by him, and he'd be just ripping off conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory. It was pretty fascinating stuff. But then you realize, even if you presented him with a fact, yeah. you'd be like,
"No, don't.
That's doctored.
It.
I don't." So. What are you going to do? Anyway, Steph Curry didn't have a great game last night. Had a brutal game, really, by his yeah. own standards. And a lot of that was the Raptors. You know, Lowry, Fred, they played really well. They attacked him defensively.
Right.
But I could see the ridicule he was taking factoring in. Don't you think?
So? Just in the back of his mind, he just wants it to go away.
Well, because he eventually came out and said, I was just joking, which I don't believe he was joking. I think he was serious. I think he actually, you know... Is questions the legitimacy of someone actually being on the moon.
Well, didn't right. Jonathan Bernier have those silly comments? And he came back after that and he did not play very well.
Never the same.
I don't know if it was ever that, but I remember shortly after that.
The Mandela?
That was absolutely.
Yeah, he
remember that? Man, the rest of the year he was a mess. And I remember people coming to his defense.
He got sent down.
I don't think it was that. Was it that year?
I'm telling you it was. He literally... He was a mess after those comments. Mm-hmm.
But he got a pass. Remember, he did get a pass early on. Like, people were like, well, you know, lost in translation. He's the new guy. Like, he was.
He might have got a pass from, like, society, but himself. He went back in the net, and he did not play well.
Well, that's the thing. You're your own worst critic, right? Like, other right. people, you think the world's laughing at you. Meanwhile, a lot of them are like, hey, whatever, I don't know. That was kind of, and you yeah. move on. No one really cares that much. But... I remember that defense coming up for Jonathan Bernier that, hey, I think things kind of went south and you got to give him an offseason here because of the Nelson Mandela comments. And
really?
You know what the thing is? We didn't mention it because we've given him a pass. But that Detroit game last week was the night after the Giants of Africa event.
Yeah.
And like there were some people connecting the dots. Like it's kind of a rough call by Jeff Blasher to put Johnny Burns.
You're right.
In within like 48 hours of Mandela's event.
I remember seeing that.
He was a good defenseman.
He's a great athlete. He's a guy we look up to. Every athlete looks up to him. It was like, whew.
Yeah, that's tough.
So it wouldn't shock me. As great as Steph Curry is, he's still human. If the past 48 hours has been difficult, where you know what's probably happened is he's been getting calls from people.
Yeah.
His agent, his parents, you know, maybe endorsers are like, hey, this isn't going over so well. You know, we got
exactly.
parents who are saying we're not buying Under Armour anymore because they don't want their kids to be associated with someone
right.
who is, you know, claiming we haven't been to the moon.
Yeah, that's
so
sick.
Let's just hope the Leafs and the Raptors who are cooking right now don't get into anything. Don't say anything outrageous or crazy that's going to kind of stir the pot up.
And don't take the moms to, what is it, Mons Venus down there? What's the name of the place in Tampa? Oh, do you remember? Is that what it's called? I think some players have had some issues there.
Is it?
Tampa. There's been some issues.
Is it a gentleman's club or is it?
It is.
Well, why would you bring the mums there?
I was joking. I wasn't saying, like, don't, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Like, obviously I'm tongue-in-cheek. Like, don't bring the mums to the Ripper joint after
I know,
the game.
I didn't know if it actually was. I thought maybe it was just a club or something.
No, it's like, well, it is a club, but I think it's more on the one side.
Okay, I see. My bad.
Oh,
I went right over my head.
I was just...
Noodles just went Johnny Burns on us.
Yeah. Although,
How did I go Johnny Burns?
I think my reaction was more Johnny Burns.
I was joking. And
but I'm not from
like
Tampa, so I didn't know what you were talking. I thought you were just talking about it. It was
like
a nightclub.
I thought I would have a story about that city.
Oh, I do, but it's not for this program.
It's for the after
that means
it's for Overdrive after hours.
Not even.
A lot of the other ones have
I
come
wouldn't
up.
Even tell you guys.
I got to hear this story. Can we
exactly.
leave early? This is the first time I advocate leaving early.
Exactly.
You want to stay late so you don't have to tell the story.
Yeah.
No guy.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Thursday night props, big Thursday nighter. Mahomes, the Chiefs at home against the Chargers. They can basically wrap up the AFC West tonight. But the Chargers win. They're both 11-3. Chargers, this is a must win for them if they want to win the division and avoid being a wild card team and start on the road. I think tons of passing tonight. We had Rod Woodson on earlier. He's like, I'm expecting like 100 combined pass attempts tonight. So over the number of completions on Phillip Rivers, 26 and a half. Over the number passing yards for Patrick Mahomes, and over the number receiving yards for Mike Williams. Throw down 20, you can score 101. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio, and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Leafs, Lightning, pregame coming up at 7. The Tapman and Greg Gilbert will be in here.
You're calling a 6-5, 5-4 type of thing?
No, it'll be the complete opposite because this is what we're hoping for.
Opposite George.
Yeah, it'll be a 1-0 bloodbath tonight.
No, I think there's going to be some goals. I think there's going to be, it's going to be good hockey, and I'm excited about it.
William Nylander, what do we expect tonight?
I think he continues to build. I thought he was pretty good in Carolina.
But he looked pretty good. Yes. I thought Mike Kelly did a great breakdown of that up on TSN.ca.
I wouldn't mind if they just put him back with Matthews, though. No?
You might see that tonight. Like, Babcock said something about just, you know, all I got to do is watch and they'll figure it out. It's almost impossible to interpret what that means. Eventually, he's going to get there.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be tonight, but eventually, Nylander's playing with Matthews. I think Nylander keeps cooking. I think he plays pretty well tonight.
He does put some legitimacy in that second power play unit. You can tell he adds to it, and it's not just go out there and do 12 seconds and see what you got and get off.
He makes
Mike Babcock after a minute say, okay, you're off. Get out there.
That's right. Puts pressure on him. That's what Babcock wants.
Yeah, big matchup in the NHL tonight and tomorrow.
We break it all down at 4:15.
We'll chat then.